You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we have an incident down here with Antonio Brown. He has taken his uniform, his shoulder pads off, and he has run to the Buccaneer locker room.
Is this the last strike for him?
He is no longer a Buck.
You know, we all love him. We care about him deeply. You know, we want to see him be at his best. And, you know, unfortunately, he won't be with our team. I think everybody should do what they can to help him in ways that, you know, he really needs it.
We start our show with the latest and a developing story. Adam Schefter has been all over it, and Schefty, over the past 24 hours, a lot has happened between Antonio Brown and the Bucs. Tell us what happened specifically that led to his release officially today.
Well, Phil, we've heard from each side now. Antonio Brown, through his attorney last night, released a lengthy statement in which he had a number of accusations he levied against the Buccaneers. And then today, Tampa responded with its own explanations about how Antonio Brown last week asked the team to guarantee the final $2 million in incentives in his contract, which the team denied doing. And then how on Sunday at halftime, Antonio Brown had to be calmed down because he wanted the football more, maybe with these incentives in mind. Now, Antonio Brown says that Bruce Arians knew that he was hurt and played him anyway. Bruce Arians had his own version today. On and on we go. Bottom line to this whole situation is today, officially, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have terminated the contract of Antonio Brown. He will be placed on waivers. Any team could go pick him up. The consensus around the league is that no team will. We'll see whether or not that actually happens. And now we begin to look ahead. The Buccaneers are trying to move ahead with the focus on their last regular season game. Antonio Brown said he needs ankle surgery, which he got that diagnosis from a doctor in New York. And both sides, again, make their own claims about what unfolded last Sunday in as memorable a scene as we've seen with a player departing the field in the middle of the game that you could remember.
Schefty will be with us throughout the show. And Schefty, you covered a lot of the events there. There was even more as Antonio Brown took to both Twitter and Instagram stories, including this shared text message that he says is between himself and Alex Guerrero, the personal trainer of Tom Brady, and now a staff member for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in which he claims that he paid Alex Guerrero $100,000 and was not actually treated. The entire text exchange was posted to Antonio Brown's various social media channels. Bruce Arians, who of course was right in the thick of this, spoke today for the first time on a Thursday in a while. He addressed the Antonio Brown situation. Here's what he had to say.
Obviously, we let Antonio go today. Just to clear you up on some things that happened. At no point in time during that game did he ever ask the trainer or doctor about his ankle. He never went through. That's the normal protocol. You go through protocols during games. I was never notified of it. So, obviously, that was the disturbing thing when we were looking for him to go back into the game. All right. We always had, he was very upset at halftime about who was getting targeted. Got that calmed down. Players took care of that. It started again on the sideline. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. That's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. I then went back, approached him about what was going on. I ain't playing. What's going on? I ain't getting the ball. That's when I said, "You're done. Get the F out of here." And that's the end of it. And we're working on Carolina. That's the end of the story. And hopefully it ends today.
All right, you see our group of analysts here, Daniel Lopsky next to me in studio with Marcus Spears and Keyshawn Johnson. And Keyshawn, this is a classic game of two sides to the same story that are very different from each other. What do you make of what's been said over the past 24 hours?
He said, she said, pointing fingers at one another. when I look at this situation, look, Yates, Phil, I've been in a situation where a coach has told me I'm done. But it's all about the delivery of the message. It's not you're done in terms of getting cut. It's I'm hurt. I can't play. I don't feel good right now. Whether it's in practice or whether it's in a game, the communication line is you're done, period. Now, you got to know who you're talking to. You got to understand that you're talking to Antonio Brown. So he may perceive and receive that message differently than someone else. And I say he say, she say, and I'm laughing because Coach Arias says no one ever notified him that something was wrong with AB's ankle. I would think that the training staff would go over to the coach at some point in time and say, hey, AB's having a little ankle injury. You might want to keep him out. That's just me. I've been on sidelines before. Communication with the training staff, and y'all know Dan and Swaggoo, is extremely important, and coaches are in constant communication with limping players throughout a course of a game, period.
Oh, listen, man, this is, to your point, Key, he say, she say, but the bottom line is this, and let me give people reality. The number one thing is you're slow for benefit of the doubt because of Antonio Brown's history. That's the reality of it. You slow to say, yeah, AB got a case. He got a, there's something there that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are responsible for these actions or telling them to get out of there. When this first initially happened, I said it was stupid. I still stand by that about how AB exited the field. But it also is new information when a head coach tell you to get the F out of there, because that changes how I feel about Antonio Brown actually leaving. I don't like how he left. And to your point, Key, how Antonio Brown interprets things, Bruce Arians should know, as well as all of us in media and people that have followed Antonio Brown since his career, that that's a different type of tone when you're having a conversation with Antonio Brown. That's the point. So beyond all of that, we sit here today and all of this stuff is coming out about what communication happened, what type of things transpired. The bottom line is this for me, man, and I'm going to go back to what my grandmother used to tell me all the time. If you keep going to people's house and messing things up, eventually it's you. They not just kicking you out the house for no reason. So at some point, I hope that we get a confirmed story from both sides and things come out a little bit more clearly. But BA telling him to get the F out does have bearing on Antonio Brown leaving the sideline and dismissing himself from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because Antonio Brown ain't like everybody else in the NFL when it comes to his actions and the things that he does.
All right, I'm pushing back on you guys. I don't want to get into like a shouting match here, though, but it sounds to me that you guys are like making excuses for the behavior of Antonio Brown. I want to be clear that everyone gets kind of all the reporting of this situation, right, fellas? And then I don't want to turn this into a shouting fight, but supposedly there was a discussion or argument at halftime within the locker room from AB about the lack of targets, and the players had to settle him down. We have not heard a single player dispute that. Not a single player has said anything else. Remember the video this week of Mike Evans with AB on the sideline while that is happening. Mike Evans has not come out and said anything that my coach isn't telling the truth, or Antonio Brown was complaining to me about his ankle. So you guys are sitting there saying, like, BA's got to, make sure he's handling or addressing Antonio Brown the right way. But you guys are making it – Antonio Brown is a grown adult. And we got to make sure that we handle him the right way. Bruce Arians is having to deal with him in the locker room after a few days of him going to the organization and wanting guaranteed money, complaining about a lack of targets, and now we're saying Bruce Arians has got to deliver the message better?
Okay, so here now
go ahead, Keith, to push back on you, Dio.
You said you didn't hear any players come to Antonio Brown's defense.
Right.
Did you hear any players come to Bruce Arians' defense about his alleged begging for targets based on incentives that will come to him at the end of the season? No, you have not. And on furthermore, no player on an active roster on a team trying to win a damn Super Bowl again is going to ruffle Antonio Brown's feathers, or the coach for that matter. They're not going to do it. I have been in these shoes where I have left a team. No one is going to say anything because guess what? They like Antonio Brown. Mike Evans was trying to calm him down because he realized him leaving was the wrong way to, for people to see things. Like Marcus said, when we saw that, we're like, man, what the hell is wrong with you? If he'd have just sat on the sideline, we wouldn't have said anything if he didn't go back into the game. You got to think about this, though, when you say that, Dio. Nobody is going to come to either defense. They're just not going to do it. No, you can't. Have they? Have they at all said anything about Bruce or AB?
Not at all. But I want to go to your point about making excuses, Dan. We all grown men, bro, and we not arguing because Antonio Brown or Bruce Arians don't pay neither one of our damn bills on this show. But here's the point, and I don't want people to get this misconstrued because I think you're absolutely wrong about something you said. You do have to handle Antonio Brown differently. If Bruce Arians don't know that, he's stupid for letting him be on this team. Because I've been around a lot of players. I've been around a lot of guys that you had to handle a different way. Nick Saban used to tell us this all the time. Everybody will be treated fairly,
correct,
but everybody ain't equal. That's the reality in football. So the day the Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed Antonio Brown, after the debacle in Las Vegas, you don't think Bruce Arians should acknowledge that I got to handle this guy in a different way? Or he said,
absolutely.
Hey, when this time comes for me to go crazy, I'm going to go crazy, and whatever come after that, it just come after that. I'm fine with Bruce Arians' approach. I have no issue with Bruce Arians getting into his feelings and emotionally being mad in the heat and the time of a game. But I'm not going to let you sit here and tell me Bruce Arians don't know that he got to handle Antonio Brown differently than most of the other guys in the NFL.
Okay.
That's false. And that is being very naive to all of the things we've seen happen with Antonio Brown.
All right, three things. Keyshawn, 11 days ago, he had 15 targets against Carolina. So we can't say, like, the 15 targets. He's complaining about not getting enough. He had 15 11 days ago. He had 10 catches.
But there's one person that said he's complaining. That's Bruce Arians. He's got to say something.
Okay, so if you were Mike Evans, and Mike Evans has absolutely earned the right to share his feelings. He's made a ton of money. He's a focal point of that organization. Mm-hmm. If he's good friends with Antonio Brown, which we're playing a little bit of an assumption game that they're at least friends, and your coach is smearing your friend's name potentially and lying about the situation,
you
would 100% say something.
No, you stand out of that right now, man. You are staying out of that, Dan. You are naive to think.
Deal, they not touching
that, Mike Evans is going to get into a match. They stand out of it, dog. Trust me.
I disagree.
They stand out of it.
All right.
They not touching that, Deal.
And that's why I love you, because you disagree.
Well, the good news is we could probably talk about this for the rest of the show. Maybe we'll have to do a SportsCenter special on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Instead, we're going to keep things going here on NFL Live as there's more Buccaneers talk about how Tom Brady once again finds a way to win late in the fourth quarter. But Dano is here to tell you that his OC, Byron Leftwich, deserves his share of the credit as well. NFL Live is brought to you by Popeye's new nuggets. They come in peace. 8-piece.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Fairly late last week, and following Antonio Brown's sort of bizarre departure, Tom Brady architected yet another come-from-behind victory and hooked up with Cyril Grayson to lead the Bucs to a 28-28 24 win over the Jets. Of course, that win came with some key Bucs sitting out. No Chris Godwin, no Leonard Fournette, amongst other players. And as mentioned, Antonio Brown left this game in the middle of it. A lot of credit goes to Tom Brady, and that much is always going to be the case. But Dan Orlovsky, what have you seen from this Bucs offense without all of its weapons on the field, and who deserves more credit than we're currently giving him?
Well, Byron Leftwich, I thought, had his best game this past weekend as an offensive play caller for this Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. And the charge for him is going to be to try to improve on that. I'm going to say one guy, one grouping, and one guru. You mentioned Cyril Grayson. Now, Antonio Brown not there, and Chris Godwin not there. Who's going to be the guy in the slot? This is 3rd and 7 the other day, and this is Cyril Grayson up top right here, okay? You're going to get Mike Evans to go in motion, and it's 3rd and 7. You're going to get zone defense from the Jets. Now, what I love is this. As these guys come off the line of scrimmage, Mike Evans is going to push up, and he's really got an out route right here. And Grayson, his job is to sit right behind kind of the contrails of Mike Evans. So the out route by Mike Evans or the corner route, he's reading zone coverage. 3rd and 7, Grayson's got to sit there. And you guys have heard me say this all the time. In zone coverage, two things. Get where you're supposed to be. Now, this is a fantastic job of Cyril Grayson sitting. Look, and he's sitting right in between the top of the numbers and the hash as these zone defenders have lifted. Now, it's 3rd and 7, so you're 3 yards short of those sticks to gain. You got to do a great job of, one, being ready for the football, and you guys have heard me say this before. Listen to where the football sends you to go. Tom Brady puts that on your left shoulder. You've got to turn over your left shoulder because these two defenders are closing, right? They're trying to vice you, essentially. You got to turn over your left shoulder, know where to get to, make a guy miss, first down. If they get more of that from him, that's going to be huge for their offense. Now, initially, this is a 2x2 set. Brady's over here with Gronk, and you got this 2x2 set. I've got 3/2 defensively. What happens is when Brady goes in motion, the defense is going to do something known as box the bunch. Box the bunch means that they're going to try to build points of a box. Points of the box. We're going to go point here, point there, point here, point there. See, that looks like a box on defense, okay? Now, I want to pin the points as an offensive play caller, and this is what Byron Leftwich does a fantastic job of. He's going to pin the points by going, Mike Evans, I want you to go up vertical and lift. I want this receiver to come in here and pin this linebacker, and then Cam Brate, you got to do a really good job of pushing up and in. Now look at how these points are pinned right here. That's a pinned point below. You got the pinned point up high, pinned point right there. Now Tom Brady's got to do two things. That ball's got to come out of his hands, which it does, right before Brate is ready for the football, and you really want this ball thrown right on Cam Brate's chest. Look at the placement by Tom Brady right now. Right there, right on his chest. Pinned, pinned, and it's a perfect throw. Byron Leftwich designed and called the perfect play in that moment. So one guy, Cyril Grayson, one grouping, those tight ends, Gronk, Cam Brate, O.J. Howard, and one guru, Byron Leftwich. This is a tremendous opportunity for you to prove you are a difference maker in Tampa Bay and a potential head coaching candidate for next season.
I'm going to say, Dan, just a couple of weeks until we're talking about head coaching interviews left and right. Sir, seems like Byron Leftwich is at least positioned for a couple of interviews. Great stuff from Dan, as always, breaking down the tape. So Sunday night, we've got a huge game under the lights. It's the Las Vegas Raiders hosting the Los Angeles Chargers in a win and in scenario for both teams. Technically, Vegas could also get in with losses by both the Steelers and the Colts. But a big game nonetheless. Justin Herbert boasts the third highest QBR versus zone coverage this year. The Silver and Black defense uses zone at the NFL's third highest rate. Derek Carr has been leaning heavily on Hunter Renfrow this year, completing 81% of his passes to Renfrow, the highest of any quarterback wide receiver duo in the NFL. And the Raiders might be at home, but ESPN's Football Power Index currently gives the Chargers a 58% chance of coming out on top in this one. All right, so Dan, when you look at this Chargers offense, what's the game plan, at least as far as you are concerned, on Sunday night?
Yeah, it's important for Justin Herbert to make fast and quick decisions. Get the ball out of your hands. You're playing that zone defense. Your arm strength is going to be a difference maker for that. And he did that a lot last week against Denver. It was really good. 1-2-3, ball out, quick decision. That's going to allow some of your playmakers on the perimeter to get the ball in their hands. It's better for them to have it than for you to have it. Hit your back foot, ball come out, allow guys to go make some plays. And then I would say this, Austin Eckler as a pass catcher, right? The Raiders are going to run that zone defense. Austin Eckler leads the NFL in running backs with yards, receptions, yards received, 612, and touchdown 7. He's become a really kind of Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara type of player for this offense. So not only are his receptions designed into this offense, but the check down aspect of it as well. So the faster Justin Herbert plays to kind of attack this zone defense for the Raiders, I think the more likely their offense is going to have consistent, sustained success.
Yeah, you mentioned zone defense, Dan, which is correct and right for the Raiders. That is what they do. They only blitz 13% of the time. That's not going to do anything to a guy like Justin Herbert. You get Justin Herbert out on the perimeter. You use his athletic ability at times with his feet. The 50-50 balls that he has delivered is one of the best in the league this year. I mean, when you talk about an athletic quarterback that understands how to play the game, especially when you go back and you look at what he did to the Raiders the first time around, you can certainly see where he would have the advantage with the big tall trees, as I like to call them, on the perimeter against a struggling secondary. That's why the Raiders went to a zone defense.
Sure.
Especially in the secondary, because those guys cannot cover back there. And now you have to go up against this passing attack and Justin Herbert and these wide receivers. They're in for a long day, yeah. Although I do think that the Raiders possibly could still win this game.
I love my brothers talking about the wide receivers and the quarterbacks. I'm going to talk about the defensive line for the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Whether you play zone or whether you play man, this game is going to be about Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue and this defensive line being able to not only get Justin Herbert off the spot, but get him off on the ground. And, Dio, you made a great point about Austin Ekeler and how they're using him. And you know I bring this up every once in a while. Hey, fellas, get them hands up, batted balls, take possessions away from the offense. So, regardless of what they plan on the back end, the onus will be put on this pass rush, and they have two of the best in the league that do it. Their name gonna have to be called the bunch this game if they want to win it.
The joy you can see when Marcus Spears talks about defensive line play, it is confetti for all.
Every day.
Hey, coming up on NFL Live, we've got more on the Antonio Brown saga as the Buccaneers and the star wide receiver have officially parted ways. The crew will examine this a little bit more. More here on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NFL Countdown has you covered for the NFL season finale. We're getting Week 18 started on Saturday as Patrick Mahomes battles the Broncos and Dak Prescott faces Philly on ESPN and ABC. And we're back on Sunday morning getting you set for the final day of the regular season with the playoffs on the line. Join us for a special edition of NFL Countdown Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ABC. Before we wrap up the regular season with Sunday NFL Countdown at 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
This is fun. The first ever Week 18 starts right here on Saturday. The Chiefs need a win to keep their hopes of a number one seed alive as they take on the Broncos at 4:15 Eastern time. Ruddy will be there. Then playoff seeding is at stake as the Cowboys battle the Eagles at 8 Eastern. Both games are on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. A special edition of NFL Countdown kicks off our coverage at 3 Eastern and noon Pacific. Hey, so the King is one step closer to an on-field return as the Titans officially designated Derrick Henry to return from IR and to the practice field on Wednesday. It's a long shot that Henry will be available on the field this week as Tennessee looks to seal that number one seed in the AFC. That being said, Tennessee does appear to be getting healthy at the right time, and what's amazing is that Henry hasn't played a game since Halloween, but he's still sixth in the NFL in rushing yards this season. He is ridiculous. He was off to quite a start. Through 8 weeks, Henry was the league's leading rusher and also leading touchdown rusher as well. He had 288 more yards than any other player once he got injured during the season. Let's bring back Adam Schefter for more on the Derrick Henry situation and things taking place around the league. Schefter, what do you got?
Well, Derrick Henry was at practice again today, Phil. That's an encouraging sign for the Titans, who have a 21-day period to activate him off injured reserve. And again, if they can lock up the number one seed this weekend by beating the Houston Texans, that would give them an extra week in which to rest Derrick Henry. You would think increasing the chances that he could be back for the divisional playoff round. Meanwhile, the 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo was at practice today, was going through at least in some type of limited way, maybe more so. And again, I think the team's feeling has been that he might be able to go this weekend against the Los Angeles Rams in a game the 49ers have and have to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. And Tyron Smith, the Cowboys' great left tackle, placed on the reserve COVID-19 list with the Cowboys playing Saturday night. That knocks him out of the game. You see him there on your screen. You see what he does to opposing pass rushers. That'll be a major loss. And we should also note today that once again, the Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson did not practice, making it one time in 24 days in which he's practiced. That means the signs are now pointing to Tyler Huntley starting the game on Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers in what is also expected to be Ben Roethlisberger's last NFL game.
Shefty, we'll see whether the Ravens do get Lamar Jackson back, but certainly not looking that way. Great stuff from Shefty as always. Let's take a look at the AFC playoff picture. We mentioned the Titans, very close to that number one overall seed, but they, the Chiefs, and the Bengals have all clinched their respective divisions. The Patriots and the Bills still alive for the AFC East crown, but both are locked into the playoffs already. Not to mention four teams are still in contention for the one seed. Tennessee currently has the lead there. They win, they get it on Sunday. As for the AFC East battle, the Bills can lock up back-to-back division titles for the first time since the early 90s with either a win or a Patriots loss. New England needs to beat the Dolphins and have Buffalo lose to the Jets in order to snag its 18th AFC East crown under Bill Belichick. That's ridiculous. And both the Bills and the Patriots are FPI favorites this week, with Buffalo holding a 92% chance to defeat Gangrene up in Western New York on Sunday. Swagoo, both of these teams are going to make the playoffs, but let's talk about their goals once the postseason arrives. If the Patriots don't make a deep run in this year's postseason, what do you think the reason will be that holds them back?
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Because it was in Mac Jones' hands. And listen, this is not about if Mac Jones is a good quarterback or going to be a good quarterback. This is about the gravity of the moment. Listen, this is this man's first playoff series. And we've seen him previously in two games when his team got behind and they needed to make a run with him throwing the ball. Yes, there was some success, but there was also two turnovers in both of those games, which in result in the playoffs, probably, more than likely, you'll be going home if you turn the ball over. Now, maybe he matured from those situations and having to be put as the main focus and the guy that has to really carry the team in certain situations if things aren't working out right. This team is a Super Bowl contender if they can stay in the vein of what they like to do. Physicality at the offensive line, run the football. I know, and I don't have to talk to Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick. It ain't ideal if you got to ask Mac Jones to win a game for you in the playoffs. And that's not an indictment on Mac Jones as far as what type of player he'll be. That's talking about where he is in his career. If I told you I had to ask a rookie to take us to the Super Bowl, all y'all would look at me and say, that's probably going to be tough as hell, guys.
Look, I hate to piggyback on Marcus. Well, I don't know what you're laughing at, Dad, but I hate to piggyback on Marcus right now about Mac Jones. But, you know, because it sounds like we hating on Mac Jones, and we're not. We're just giving true facts about what he is, as a quarterback come playoff time. He has done a tremendous job driving the bus. But we did see him against the Bills last week when they struggled to put points on the board from an offensive standpoint when they fell behind. When you think about it, the Miami Dolphins are going to heat him up, right? Just that alone. Imagine what the Cincinnati Bengals or the Buffalo Bills, when he see them in the playoffs, are going to do. Mac Jones against the blitz, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He's only completing, as Dan likes to go to the numbers, 34% of passes 20-plus down the field. That's problematic in the playoffs when you're going up against high-octane offenses when you fall behind. Look, can he do it? Probably so. We got to see, though, and we haven't seen it yet. That's all.
I'm actually not a numbers guy. It took me 17 years to graduate from college. So
17?
17.
A doctor's plan.
I knew you guys were going to say if the Patriots
don't
go on a run.
You get
in
UConn.
Yeah, football. I knew you guys were going to say, like, it'll fall on Mac Jones. Yes, I think if the Patriots go on a deep playoff run, it will be on the shoulders of three guys on their offense specifically. One, Hunter Henry, for information and production. Two, Jacoby Myers has got to win consistently in three. Mac Jones got to be great on third down, but that's who he's been all year, fellas. Hunter Henry at the bottom of the screen. He's getting matched by safety. I got man across the board. Key, you know this. On in route, I got a choice route by the back. Jacoby Myers is in red. Now, this is where Jacoby's got really good, running versus man coverage, right? See that burst right there, Key? Forces that slot defender to fall back and that linebacker to climb a little bit. That allows that shallow to get underneath. Third down, man conversion, bang. Well, what happens if we want to see it against zone, right? Same formation, essentially. Double mug, so I moved the linebacker, the running back up there. Hunter Henry, matched by corner. Mac Jones, and everybody knows it's zone. Anticipate that, right? Now watch Jacoby Myers up top again. He's going to push to lift those defenders like he's going on that shallow. Drop down, safety into the middle linebacker position. Too high, and then watch his feel in that zone. Ball comes out right now by Mac Jones, and that's how they attack zone coverage. So, yeah. A lot is going to fall on his shoulders, but this team has been really good about running the football, getting into manageable third down situations, and they've gotten good at, man, this is how we're going to run the play versus man. Zone, this is how we're going to run the play versus zone. Jacoby Myers has got to be great.
Well, it's looking forward to
this. The problem, though, Dan, with that Phil, is that if they fall behind, Phil, you can forget about what Dan just showed.
Sure,
you can forget about that. If they don't fall behind.
Yeah, when they play on script, though, they've been a very, very difficult team to beat. Looking forward to seeing how the playoffs unfold. It's coming around the corner. By the way, it's Thursday. You know what that means, right?
We got the horses.
The horses are here. The Dan Wagon. You want to give us a little clue as to who's coming up on the Dan Wagon?
Hey, I ain't giving no clues about who's coming up on the Dan Wagon. But it ain't going to be a New York Jet or a wide receiver. Maybe it is.
Coming up next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We got the Dan Wagon coming up. Dan, giddy up. Come on, yeehaw.
Broncos on the wagon. We are going to put two gloves.
Touchdown, Broncos.
Teddy Bridgewater on the Dan Wagon. I'm going to put on Kirk
Cousins. Throws.
Touchdown!
Ezekiel Elliott, is on the Dan Wagon.
Rondell Moore.
Javonte Williams. Micah Parsons.
Yes!
You are now part of the Dan Wagon family. Welcome.
Like Laura said,
yeehaw!
For some reason, my favorite part of that is always Swagoo's
yeehaw!
All right, Dan, who's on the Dan Wagon this week?
Yeah, first of all, I have to apologize to this player because you should have been on the Dan Wagon weeks ago, but we finally got you here. Deebo Samuel of the San Francisco 49ers. One of the, if not the most versatile offensive piece in the whole NFL, Deebo Samuel is a guy that is positionless. Kyle Shanahan is often going to hand the ball off to him and say, hey, man, just go make a play, and utilize him as a tailback. Deebo Samuel has 7 rushing touchdowns this season. That's the most in the Super Bowl era by a wide receiver. He has the chance to lead his team in both rushing yards and receiving yards, and that would be the first time since 1970 a wide receiver has done that. He's got over 1,600 yards from scrimmage. Babyface, that is third in the NFL behind Jonathan Taylor, who is in the MVP running, and Cooper Kupp, who's probably the favorite for the offensive player of the year in the NFL and having a historic receiving season at the wide receiver spot. So Deebo Samuel, such a dynamic player for this offense. One of the reasons why they are in a win and in situation this weekend. If they're going to do that, it will be because he's a big part of this game this weekend.
The last time we played against the Rams, he busted out that big old chain. Perhaps he'll have it again on Sunday.
I didn't get a chain like that.
He wins. Probably they win. Good. They are in the playoffs. You could probably rock that chain.
I have a chain, but very simple chain.
I could not rock that.
Very simple.
Pivoting from one wide receiver to another, Antonio Brown was cut by the Bucs today. The end result of him walking off the field in the third quarter of Sunday's game. It's been a busy 24 hours for the former Bucs receiver, who sent out a statement calling out head coach Bruce Arians for trying to make him play injured. He also called out Tom Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero, claiming he had paid for services that Guerrero never provided. He also released a text exchange he says happened between he and Bruce Arians. the screenshots Brown released showing the following. After Arians told him the team was not resting players this week, Brown sent a photo of what appears to be him getting worked on by a trainer, writing that he wasn't going to be able to get up to full speed because of the ankle he rolled the previous week, and that he wants whatever is best for the team. Arians finished by texting, saying that the team wants him to go out on the trip to the game in case he was ready to play. There's a lot to get into there, and obviously it's a game of he said, but Key, let's spin this forward here for a second. Antonio Brown was officially waived just minutes ago. Does he play again in the NFL and perhaps even as soon as this season?
I don't know about this season. It's hard to bring somebody in this juncture of the season for the playoffs, right? When you don't really, what are you going to tag him on certain routes? There's no chemistry there. Mm. It's a different, our locker room is set. But in terms of playing in the future, man, you can answer that question yourself, Phil Yates. When you are a very talented individual, there's somebody out in the National Football League, with however many thousands of coaches that there is, that will say, I like him, he helps us win. I don't give a damn what nobody says about him. And there's also coaches, as you know, and general managers out there that don't like Bruce Arians that will do it just to spite him. Mm. But here's my prediction, though, Swagoo and Yates. He'll be playing in Tampa Bay again. You do understand that, right?
Ooh.
You know that, right, Phil?
He'll be playing
for Tampa Bay.
Excuse me?
It just won't be the Buccaneers. It'll be the Tampa Bay Bandits of the USFL.
Oh.
Todd Haley just took that job, his former offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh.
That's right.
They will make him the highest paid player in the history of the USFL, and he will be in Tampa Bay. You mark this down.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'm writing this down right now, Key. I like that. Schefter's on the hot seat right now with Key beating him to the scoop. Swagger, what do you got?
Oh, my God. Listen, man, I'm with Key. Like, first of all, I had to think about this because when AB went off the field, I was like, he was retiring. That was the peace out to the NFL. But ultimately, I had to go back in my mind. Didn't we say the same damn thing after the Raiders situation?
Yes, we did.
Everybody was crazy. He ain't going to play no more. He ain't going to be in the league no more. That's the final straw. That's it. Man, listen, this is the damn NFL. I don't put nothing past them. I don't put nothing past any one of these 32 teams that get desperate enough to try to win a Super Bowl. Because ultimately, Tampa last year accomplished what they needed to accomplish by bringing AB in. They won a championship. And Tom Brady understood that as well. So I would like to be in here like, the, you know, like when you're in school and they like, man, we, you know, the bad kids, man, this dude just got too much. We can't let him back in this class. Hell no. It's the NFL. I done seen more than I ever thought I would see the NFL relent on or some teams or organizations or GMs or ownership. I will not be shocked at all if AB is on a roster come next season.
Well, we will find out if he's on a roster
come
tomorrow.
He will be, the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Okay, Key, I'm telling you, called your shot right now. For those that are interested, the USFL season begins in the middle of April, perhaps with Antonio Brown. We have a massive game in the NFC West on Sunday, and Key and the guys will tell us why the Rams' focus this week should be winning now and resting later.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pro Bowl's coming your way as we have the Pro Bowl, as always, on ESPN. Catch the brightest stars surrounding the NFL. Their team, the Pro Bowl presented by Verizon, Sunday, February 6th, 12 p.m. Pacific, at Allegiant Stadium. Buy your tickets today at ProBowl.com. The Niners took it to the Rams in Week 10, winning 31-10. That game is the largest win of the season for the 49ers and the largest loss of the season for the Rams. San Francisco has won 5 straight against LA heading into Sunday. So how did the 49ers dominate that game? For one, they dominated time of possession, holding the ball for 39 minutes and 3 seconds, largely because of an 11-minute opening drive. San Fran called a design run 68% of the time. It's the its highest mark in any game over the last 20 seasons. The Niners also use a man in motion at the snap 60% of the time, the highest by any team in the NFL in the last 5 seasons. All right, so Dan, how did the 49ers use that running game so effectively in round one?
Yeah, you talked about the time of possession and whatnot. A lot of that run was to the perimeter, to the outside against that Rams defense. And the reason they're so good at it is because they're prepared for any situation. So you got your tight end up top. This is a sift block. He's got the end man on the opposite line of scrimmage. That safety's playing man coverage. He's going to follow outside zone to the left, okay? Now watch this. You're going to get an awesome job. Juszczyk's really got the outside man in line of scrimmage. But Trent Williams initially takes him as he goes upfield. Outstanding. Now watch this offensive line prepare for the stunt from Houston's defense. Juszczyk redirects. He gets the spill of the scrape linebacker over the top. And there's the outside perimeter seam for Elijah Mitchell. Watch the back angle, though, field, because what happens is this defensive line is going to slant to the left. The outside zone is everybody going to their left. What a beautiful job by Lakin Tomlinson and Juszczyk and Trent Williams and Alex Mack to retrace those guys and pin them. Marcus knows this. You deal with this run game, right? And you, like, oftentimes defenses will be like, we're just going to line up and play it. That's the best way. We got to penetrate and play it. And then you start getting gashed. And so as a defense, you start to call these run blitzes, which is slant, slant, and pirate over the top or scrape it over the top.
Right.
The reason why it's so hard versus San Francisco is they're so ready and used to it where they could step, retrace, pin you, and then there's that gashing run on the perimeter. So that's huge for the Rams if they want to win this game. Try to minimize that.
Well, the question may be then, Swag, should they want to win this game, that meaning the L.A. Rams, as if the Rams win on Sunday, they'll be the number 2 seed in the NFC, which means they'd have a home field advantage all the way up to the NFC Championship. Ooh. And perhaps in the NFC Championship if the Packers don't make it there? Or should they be more focused on taking care of business as far as resting their players, letting their guys get good for the rest of the regular, for the rest of the postseason, because they could be playing deep into January.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down here. Don't let me down.
Well, damn, babyface, when you put it like that, I got to play the damn boys, man. Like, I'm thinking about, I'm trying to think about, you know, getting Matthew Stafford some rest. He's been banged up all season long. I don't want Aaron Donald to get rolled up and we don't have him for the playoffs. So, any situation, Von Miller, who's an older player in the league now, not getting injured, getting them ready to go, but you got to play because you don't want to see the 49ers again. It's a divisional opponent that you may have to face at some point throughout the playoffs. I go back and forth with this. I remember last year we had this situation with Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I was saying, look, Pittsburgh need to play their starters so they don't have to face Cleveland in the playoffs. Mm. Cleveland blew them out in the playoffs. So go ahead and play them, man. I fought with this one for a long time, but go ahead and play and try to get the 49ers, get rid of them.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Think about it, Dan and Swagoo. When we were in the league, what was it that we were trying to do? We were trying to get the 1 or 2 seed.
Right.
And I understand there was a bye that came with that. But it's still the second seed, home field advantage throughout the playoffs, if, in fact, the number 1 seed loses. You play them dudes, man. You don't go limping into the damn playoffs.
Yeah.
The Rams don't have the luxury to do that, and neither is Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is 0-3 lifetime in the playoffs. He need to go in hitting on all cylinders and make sure to take care of himself, get up early enough so he can get out of the game.
Yeah, Key, like, our friendship has grown so much this year. You know, we were going in such a good direction, and then we lead into the playoff.
Made it personal.
And you take shots at Mac Jones today. You're taking shots at Matthew Stafford today. Like, what?
What did I say?
No.
I said
it was an unnecessary step.
Key, you ain't hear it. Key, you didn't hear it. Dan didn't think 7 interceptions in 3 weeks was a big deal. You didn't hear that this week because you was out there in the sunshine on vacation. He said 7 picks wasn't a big deal in 3 weeks.
You were wearing your reefs at the
Malibu
beach. Malibu Beach.
It's good to be Key these
days.
Going to
Nobu, wearing reef sandals.
It sounds like the Rams will play their starters on Sunday. Key, put those down. This is national TV. Put those nasty sandals down. It's time for one more thing. And this is a more important thing than anything else talk about on the show. So Dan Orlovsky, great on Twitter. Not so great with his food takes, as he says, quote, want to be honest here, and he puts the air quotes around this, respectfully, cannolis do not taste good, ever. Swagoo, come correct with this man. What is he talking about?
Be my family right here.
Hey, brother, hold on 1 second. This is a cultural barrier. I don't know what cannolis are, fellas.
Swagoo.
I don't know what they are.
He don't know what cannolis are?
I got you. I got you, Swagoo. I got you, Swagoo.
I don't.
They're great if you like pastries with a bunch of cream in it. I don't. They are nasty
my
as hell.
Okay, you guys are all crazy. NFL like Live is back tomorrow. I don't want any of these. Marie are over. Coming up next.
Just get some damn cake.
I never talk to you guys again.